VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome to Romancing the Table with modern day goddess Cynthia Dodona, a celebration of love, life, and food. Cynthia's key ingredients will nurture and delight the palate, heart, body, mind, and soul. Now, here's your host, Cynthia Dodona.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Dodona, and you're listening to Romancing the Table, a show dedicated to celebrating life, love, and food. I'm the author of Diary of a Modern Day Goddess, a top-selling guide to nurturing your body, mind, and soul. And I also write a Romancing the Table blog, which you can check out on my website. On the homepage, you can also hear replays of all of our shows and see clips from my new Greek Island Destination Cooking Class video that I hosted at Santorini, Greece. It offers all these wonderful regional dishes and romantic Santorini, and also makes a wonderful gift DVD. So I want you to know I love doing this show and bringing great insights to you on how you can enjoy more love, romance, happiness, success, joy, love-infused food, connections, and memories at the table. Sounds good, doesn't it? Today's show is on creating a romantic table. Besides offering a delicious and healthy menu, we'll discuss what else you can add to make your guests feel like gods and goddesses. Today we'll learn some tips for table decor that reflect the beauty and romance of the moment. Lynn Newberg from Easy Leaf Products will share how to add the ultimate golden touch to the table. And we'll speak with Grammy-nominated musician and composer Michael Hoppe, whose music truly touches and romances the soul, as it did mine when my husband and I first heard Michael's music during a very romantic dinner on our honeymoon in Santorini, Greece. But before we begin, I want to thank my audience for all those wonderful comments and emails you've been sending me. Now that I have the show called Romancing the Table, where I'm sharing my love-infused foods and romantic dinners and travel and positive living, people are contacting me saying they're being inspired by the stories, the information, the music, and the guests, as well as the result that they are taking the time to sit down and share more meals with their families, mates, friends, and also with themselves. I'm so glad to hear that because I feel this mindfulness and delight and even romance around meals really provides a connection to our loved ones and food and what we're eating, and that contributes to overall physical, mental, and emotional health. So I love hearing your stories about a memory you created, recreated, or romantic meal or special time you had around the table. So tell me the decor, the menu, the place, the people, and how it made you feel. And email me your story with your comments at cynthia@moderndaygoddess.com. Because it is truly my intention to continue to provide information through the show and through my blog that will help assist you in feeling a more joyful connection to yourself and those you love. As some of you may know, I'm a newlywed, and I have a very strong passion for nurturing love and romance. So I'm often asked by my listeners and others how they too can have consistent romantic date nights. And for the first time listeners, I'm going to review my date night tips. And also for people who have been listening, it's always good to review this every week. When I was, you know, it kind of came about when I was looking for premarital advice right before I got married a year ago. I asked the therapist for tips on how to have a strong and happy marriage, and he said one thing was to spend quality time with each other every week and to schedule it. So every Sunday, my husband Jim and I sit down for a few minutes and schedule the time on our calendar. It's been working wonderfully for us. Each week, we plan an us night in the middle of the week and a date night on Saturday in which we take turns implementing. It's quite simple. So, you know, what happens is the person in charge of planning the date night provides a meal. They get the local paper and they find suggestions for entertainment to run past the other person. If you have kids, this will also help you to remember to schedule child care or a date night after they've gone to bed, and to also add a family night onto your calendar. So to help you remember what contributes to a successful date night, I've created an acronym using the word DATE. So here it is. D is for dinner. The person in charge of dinner either makes it or makes a reservation. A is for atmosphere. Candles, soothing music, a flower, color on the table, a quiet enough atmosphere to talk if it's a restaurant or to have kids in bed if it's at home. And so you can have a home dinner date. And today's show will help you focus on how to create a romantic table atmosphere at home that will make you both feel like gods and goddesses. T is to take turns creating romantic dates and to discuss the options. E is for enthusiasm in which you plan the date. and also your appreciation of your date and what they plan for you. So get your calendars out after the show and schedule those date nights, whether it's for yourself or for your loved ones. You know, I do enjoy eating out and eating in, and whether I'm cooking for my husband or my husband cooks for me, which I always think is really a true delight. So when it's my turn to plan a romantic date night, I love creating a romantic table. And as a home cook with an Italian-Greek heritage, I first think of what we will be eating. And I really enjoy all the healthy California cuisine, since I live in Santa Barbara, California, or Mediterranean cuisine, because both of them focus on using the freshest ingredients possible. They're also very colorful and look so beautiful on the plate. It also leaves you feeling wonderful after you've eaten, especially with Mediterranean cuisine being one of the healthiest in the world, and that's quite important for romance. You can check out recipes for some of my favorite Mediterranean dishes and decorative tips on my blog, which is, there's a link on my website, moderndaygoddess.com. So even if you don't cook like some men and women have told me, you can still pick up food from your favorite restaurant, place it on lovely plates, buy some flowers, light the candles, put on your favorite relaxing music, and voila, you now have a romantic dinner that only took about 15 to 30 minutes. And here's a romancing the table tip. When you're planning a dinner, remember the M&Ms. Set the mood with music. You can have lively music when your guest arrives or when you're, you know, cooking or before you sit down to dinner with your honey. But once you sit down, you should play something soothing with instrumentals so everyone can talk and relax. I sometimes play soft jazz, classical, ethnic, instrumentals, guitar, piano. And in the third segment of our show, we'll hear some of Grammy nominee musician and composer Michael Hopay's music, which I feel is so beautifully romantic and soothing. You know, I really find great joy in sitting down to a dress table as a guest or creating one for my guests. And people have asked me, well, how can you create a romantic table? And I often let something inspire me. It can be the flowers or herbs from the garden or a beautiful napkin ring, colorful napkins or elegant china. Or it can be as simple as white plates with colorful food selections. Or cloth napkins can be tied with ribbons or herbs such as mint or lavender tucked inside. You know, I love visiting culinary stores and stores, you know, with good houseware departments or a home decorated shop or flea markets with unique items to dress up a table. Many items can also be purchased online as well as, you know, that are quite inexpensive or, you know, expensive, whatever budget you have. So allow yourself to be creative in selecting items to dress a table. It's as personal as selecting your wardrobe. Remember, as in dressing yourself, you want to use the right amount of accessories that complement each other. And your decor should really match the event, whether it's an elegant evening, a casual lunch. Just have fun with it and keep it simple. And when I dress a table, I focus on how I can make my table be one of beauty. I think about how my guests will feel when they first see it and how comfortable they'll feel once they're seated at the table. Now, to me, candles are an instant romantic touch. You know, large column candles or small votives or tapered candles and candlesticks definitely enhance the atmosphere. It's best to choose unscented to avoid any overpowering scents. And when I was single, I purchased silver candlesticks with crystals around the base. I found them on sale for $20, and I would envision how I would place them on the table for a romantic dinner with my romantic husband. I also had them and lit them for myself when I was having a romantic date for myself. Within a few months, I met my husband, and I now sit on our table, and I find great joy in lighting them for our romantic dinners. You know, one evening when I wanted to create a Greek theme, I used my romantic god and goddess silk ivy crowns on the plate for table settings. I've designed them, and you can purchase them off of my website, moderndaygoddess.com, and you can wear them on your head and truly feel like you're feasting as a god and goddess. They were inspired by my book cover in which I'm wearing one of the crowns. I also added two small Greek goddess statues on the table, which I purchased on a trip to Greece. I used fresh mint and rosemary and flowers from the garden in a bouquet and a white water pitcher, which really provided a wonderful fragrance. I then put mint sprigs in the napkins, and, you know, I'll post a picture on my blog when I do a recap of the show, and you can get to that blog through my website. I also love using things from nature to dress the table. For my Mediterranean post-wedding reception centerpieces, I took olive branch leaves and placed them around the bottom of hurricane lamps with candles. The olive leaf branches were also included on my wedding cake and in my bouquet. You know, sometimes my inspiration will come from a unique vase or decorative platter or plates or a lovely linen tablecloth or a runner or placemats or gold charger plates, flatware, colorful bowl of fruit, lovely fresh flowers. You know, I mean, it's really endless what you can put on a table. But once you've been inspired by an item, just build it from there. You can really create a simple or an elegant and playful table from whatever you wish. There's no correct way. In William Yeward's book called Perfect Tables, he suggests trying out a single place setting before setting the whole table in the dining room. He says the trial setting provides an opportunity to test things, to mix and alter plates and glasses until the right combination appears. It's like an alchemy. There are endless combinations and inspirations to try, but finally you achieve the one that looks right for that night or special occasion. And I totally agree with William. So, you know, in our busy lives, it's really important to dress a table that's easy to include in your schedule. And everyone has different creativity, and that can really be expressed through different elements. So I encourage you to have some fun and take some time to dress your table and then yourself. What I really like about a well-dressed table is that it shows effort and an expression of love that also makes one slow down and savor a meal with those you love. So when I think back on the romantic tables that I've enjoyed, it's really been things that have been quite simple. Maybe it was the candlelight, it was the music, of course, certainly the company and the conversation. But again, I really do want to encourage you to keep it simple, have fun, let it really be a creative expression of yourself, and just realize that your guests basically will look at the table and say, wow, she took effort for me to create this table, and I think that is truly, truly an act of love. So just take the time, have fun, check out my blog for some ideas, and write to me with your stories or a romantic table you created. So we're going to go to break now, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Lynn Newberg from Easy Lift Products, who will talk to us about gilding food items with edible gold and silver for a romantic and elegant touch. I'm Cynthia Dedona, your Romancing the Table host, and we'll be right back.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Sit back, relax, and travel to Greece today. Transcend everyday life with video journeys exploring the romance of Greece. CelebrateGreece.com features inspiring topics from cooking and travel to ancient history and culture. A great gift idea is CelebrateGreece.com's latest video, A Greek Island's Destination Cooking Class. Follow award-winning host, author, and Greco-Roman beauty, Cynthia Dedona, as she explores Greek island cuisine and the romantic island of Santorini. Order DVDs or download programs to watch right now. CelebrateGreece.com is Greece on demand. Opa!
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell that saves from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found a small patch of plastic on my right shoulder.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
If you want to put the pep back in your step, Chad Lafferty says just what you're looking for. Dance is life. Life is dance.
It's only about dance.
It's about moving through life with style, gaining awareness of the never-ending, ever-flowing movement that accompanies all of life's activities. Dance is Life. Life is Dance, broadcast every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Radio Network. Be sure to tune in and tap into the limitless healing that dance can provide.
Can't stop now.
News. Opinion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Thank you for tuning in today to Romancing the Table with Modern Day Goddess Cynthia Dodona, a celebration of love, life, and food. Now back to the show and your host, Cynthia.
Welcome back. I'm Cynthia Dodona, and you're listening to Romancing the Table, a show dedicated to celebrating life, love, and food. I'm also the author of Diary of a Modern Day Goddess and the Romancing the Table food blog, which you can check out at my website, moderndaygoddess.com. My next guest is Lynn Newberg, director of the Edible Foods Division of Easy Leaf Products. I want to tell you a little bit about Lynn. In August of 2003, Lynn and her husband, Larry, were dining with friends in Santa Fe, New Mexico, when they began gilding their cocktail with full sheets of edible gold leaf. Before long, the elegant cocktails attracted the entire restaurant. Fellow diners swarmed their table, asking them to do the same with their drinks. It was in that very moment that Lynn realized this age-old tradition of gilding food and drinks was becoming of interest to people again. So after that, they traveled to Italy to develop a business strategy and developed user-friendly packaging. And the end results were user-friendly shakers with edible gold powder and edible gold silver powder, now known in the industry as sprinkles, as well as small flakes. So now, both Sam and Larry soon realized that Lynn's passion for the new founded creation, and they put her in charge of the food and beverage industry product line. Sounds like a great job to me. So with her help and enthusiasm, Lynn Newberg oversees the Oro Fino, which is edible gold, and Argentino Fino, which is edible silver, that are growing, and both of these products are growing tremendously popular in the food and beverage industry. It's becoming one of the most stylish ways to add elegance in dinner to their cocktail, to dinner or cocktails or food. And you can check out their products at their website, easyleafproducts.com. So welcome, Lynn, and thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here on the show, and it was nice to hear you speak the last 15-minute segment and hear you talk about the tables.
Absolutely. I mean, talk about items that are fit for gods and goddesses at the table. I mean, your products really allow everyone, even home cooks, because I've tried your products and I love them, to decorate, you know, beverages and foods and desserts at the table. And tell me about the family business, because you said that you guys have been in business for 50 years.
Yes, it's a family business. My father-in-law actually started the business, and he has been selling gold to many, many industries, and one of those industries was the food industry. And gold is manufactured in Europe, and we buy from Italy, but it's manufactured typically in standard 3 3/8 by 3 3/8 sheets. And for many years, the last 50 years, we would sell those sheets to pastry chefs and chefs across the country. And then, as you just said, several years back, using those sheets to gild martinis, we just saw this renewed enthusiasm. And the problem we have with the sheets is that they're just so temperamental. And we thought, you know what, we really need to make this more user-friendly, more fun, just really easier to deal with. So we went and explored and experimented and came up with our shaker boxes that you can really sprinkle out gold or silver and embellish everything from cocktails to sweets to savories, you name it. I've got 1,000,010 ideas.
Sounds so fun. And, you know, can you tell us how far back gold has been used at the table and what way? It has quite a history.
It's got a huge history, and it's actually documented all the way back to the, believe it or not, the Golden Age, which was around the 13th century. And gold was used for one reason and one reason alone. It was used to enhance the banquet table, because during the Golden Ages we had the Renaissance period, first the medieval times, then the Renaissance period. So during those times, how did they, you know, show respect to honor guests at the table? It was by embellishing their food with gold, primarily gold, and then it evolved into silver as well. And they started at an Elizabethan table. They would gild the crust, the pies, and then from there it would go on and on. They would gild pomegranates at a wedding banquet, and they would do that because gold was a sign of longevity. Pomegranates was a sign of fertility. So they would gild hundreds of pomegranates at a banquet table and lay them down. So we really do have it traced all the way back to the 13th century.
How wonderful. When you and I were talking before the show, you had said eating back then was truly a social event because they, you know, that was the form of an entertainment, right?
Well, that was it. They weren't going to the theater. They weren't going, you know, out to dinner at a fancy restaurant. They weren't going to plays and movies. They were having banquets, and everything revolved around the banquet table. Banquet tables used to be, at one point, they would have 30 courses, if you can even imagine, 30 courses.
Oh,
there would
wow.
be 60 chefs in the kitchen. And there was no end to what they would want to do with the food to make it really beautiful. They would come rolling out with these carts, and they would have a swan on a cart, and they would gild the beak and set the beak on fire and have it coming out into the banquet table. It was amazing what they would do.
That was their entertainment. It's like circus tricks.
Exactly.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, it was that whole vision of the feast and the banquets, and especially the Italians and Greeks did that so well. So you're actually bringing back an old age tradition. And a lot of people do ask, is the gold edible? I mean, I know we discussed it was used in the past for healing properties, for digestion, and it's a certain carat gold. Can you explain that?
Exactly. Gold, to have gold be edible, it must be at least 23 carat, which means it's pure, and that is exactly what we're using here, is pure gold. It's an inert substance. So it's not like it's ingested. I mean, you ingest it, but it's not absorbed into your body. So it actually passes through your system. So the answer is yes, it's absolutely edible.
Wonderful. And now let's get into the really, really fun part. How have you seen this used? What are a few of your top selections? I know you said Wolfgang Puck used it, right?
Exactly. And again, this just sort of ties back into why someone like Wolfgang Puck could use this successfully today. When I mentioned before that we've been selling gold for 50 years, originally it was beaten into squares, and you would use these squares and pull off little pieces and then put it on whatever you wanted to gild. Well, 2 years ago, Wolfgang discovered that we were making our gold in shakers, and we have it tumbled specially in Italy and then putting these shakers. So when he does the governor's ball, and he needs to quickly and efficiently gild 1,800 cups of soup like he does, there's no way he could take a sheet of gold, pull off a little piece, and then try to put it on there. So he took the shakers, and it was sprinkled it right on, got them all out onto the floor at the governor's ball, and it's a success. So we've just made it easy. And to see him do it on something like a celery and Fuji apple soup is just so beautiful.
That sounds great. And you told me about a steakhouse in Chicago.
There's a steakhouse in Chicago, and they actually encrusted little petite filets in solid gold. Gorgeous. Just absolutely gorgeous.
Wow.
I've had customers do lobster bakes. And, of course, you know, they'd have their lobsters as a centerpiece. They would gild the lobster tail and have that right in the middle of the table. Beautiful. Just beautiful to see someone gild a lobster tail.
Absolutely. And you mentioned someone else had done rice, which was beautiful.
You know, Julie Sani is probably one of the foremost Indian cooks and authors and instructors anywhere in the U.S. And recently we were at Sirla Table, and she was doing a cooking class, and she said to me, gild this. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is where, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And we actually took the basmati rice and we sprinkled equal amounts of gold and silver on top of the basmati rice, and it was a vision, an absolute gorgeous vision. I can't even tell you how shocked I even was at how beautiful such a little bit of effort could make this whole big bowl of basmati rice. It was gorgeous.
Beautiful. I mean, I used it for strawberries and Greek yogurt, which is really beautiful in the Greek yogurt. And I've been really inspired from talking to you. I'm going to go out and buy some baklava and put a sheet on the top for my, my American Greek husband and say, honey, here's some Greek dessert fit for a god. So it's really fun to be creative. You said you like to use it in soups.
I do. And I love to make either like an asparagus bisque or a roasted red pepper and pear soup, definitely a cream soup. And I take a petal and I just dance one little petal right in the middle of the soup. Sometimes I'll do a little cream fraiche and then one little petal and bring it out to the table, and it's gorgeous. And don't forget, we're talking about that romantic table. You know, you've got the candles on there, and you bring out a soup, and it just sparkles from the light of the candle.
Sounds beautiful. What a conversation. And then, of course, you can put it on your champagne glasses, the silver or the gold. I've seen gorgeous pictures, which we're going to put up on our blog after we recap, or people could see that on your website.
You can rim your glasses very easily. You can take a sponge, or I like to use a really clean kitchen sponge. I get it wet. I squeeze out the excess water, twist the rim of your glass on that sponge and get it damp, sprinkle a little gold or silver on a piece of parchment or wax paper, and then twist the rim of your glass in that little sprinkled out silver or gold, and it's so easy, it takes you a moment. Then when you pour your champagne in there, you'll have the majority of it on the rim, but just a few little sprinkles will be in the bottom of the glass, and they float up and down the whole time the champagne is effervescing.
Sounds wonderful, and I saw a beautiful picture of gold sprinkled on hot cocoa. And can you describe, I think you did, the shapes and forms it comes in? It comes in sprinkles, and also the cost, because it is really affordable. I was surprised, which is wonderful.
It is affordable. Even though gold is through the moon cost-wise, what you have to realize is it is so pounded, so thin, and it's so light, and it's so airy that to buy a shaker, you get so much bang for your buck. You really do. The shakers, the smallest form of the product is a sprinkles, and it's in the shaker. And then the box with petals, Patali. And then the sheets with the full sheets, and the prices start at $21.
Fabulous. That sounds great. And I know you can get it on your website, Easily Products, and Thurla Table, and all these delightful places. So I just want to thank you for showing us how to do a golden goddess touch to our tables. And thank you, Lynn, for joining us. Now we're
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, my pleasure, too.
Thank you.
So we're talking with Lynn Newberg from Easy Leaf Products on how to use edible gold and silver to create a romantic table. To find out more about their products, you can check out their website, easyleafproducts.com. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Grammy nominee composer and musician Michael Hope, who will share with us his inspiration behind his romantic music. I'm Cynthia Dodona, the Romancing the Table host, and we'll be right back.
Sit back, relax, and travel to Greece today. Transcend everyday life with video journeys exploring the romance of Greece. CelebrateGreece.com features inspiring topics from cooking and travel to ancient history and culture. A great gift idea is CelebrateGreece.com's latest video, a Greek Islands Destination Cooking Class. Follow award-winning host, author, and Greco-Roman beauty, Cynthia Dodona, as she explores Greek island cuisine and the romantic island of Santorini. Order DVDs or download programs to watch right now. CelebrateGreece.com is Greece on demand. Opa!
The results indicate your child has neuroblastoma.
There's evidence of metastasis.
We need to schedule a bone
marrow. We need to perform a surgical
biopsy.
MIBG
scan.
After you hear your child has cancer, chances are you don't hear anything else. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. brought to you by CareSearch and the Ad Council.
Want pure inspiration and great ideas for action? Want to become successful beyond your hopes and dreams? Then tune in to Millionaire Mentor with best-selling author, one of the world's leading women entrepreneurs, and host, Luann Mitchell Halter. Luann and her guests, all masters of global inspiration, share their secrets to manifesting and positive daily mental exercise principles. From how to get affordable health care, to billionaire mentality, and bankrupt no more imagery, Millionaire Mentor dares you to live the life you love and love the life you live. Millionaire Mentor with Luann Mitchell Halter broadcasts each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America channel. Millionaire Mentor, achieve your greatest heights.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back. I'm Cynthia Dedona, and you're listening to Romancing the Table, a show dedicated to celebrating life, love, and food. I'm also the author of Diary of a Modern Day Goddess, a guide to nurturing your body, mind, and soul, and the Romancing the Table blog, which you can check out at my website, moderndaygoddess.com. Today's show is on creating the romantic table. So besides serving a delicious and healthy menu, I feel that music can truly make one feel like a god and goddess in life and at the table. Music to me is a very important element in creating a beautiful atmosphere. It can stir feelings within the heart, convey romance, and soothe the soul. And our next guest is Michael Hoppe, who I think is a master at doing just that. He is a Grammy-nominated musician and composer who, over his 15 years career, has recorded over a dozen albums of lush and romantic, classically influenced music. Right now, we're listening to Waltz of Whispers from his album called The Yearning, which won CD of the Year, and is the first album my husband Jim and I heard of his work during a very romantic dinner on our honeymoon in Santorini, Greece. It touched our heart and soul so much, we researched his work, and we were delighted to discover Michael had many other albums as well. Michael's music has been heard internationally and on numerous TV programs and films ranging from The Oprah Winfrey Show to the feature film Misunderstood with Gene Hackman to Flags of Our Father, which is a Clint Eastwood documentary, and to the HBO The Sopranos. In his Grammy Award-nominated CD, Solace, Hoppe recorded several works with the Prague Symphony Orchestra, and his album also includes the artist Vangelis and a solo performance of Hoppe's composition called The Parting. His latest release is Romance for Solo Piano, which is a truly touching CD that will touch your heart. And I'll be playing a clip from that at the end of the show. Romance for Solo Piano and Solace, along with How Do I Love Thee, the world's most beautiful love poems in the world, which he did with actor Michael York, are available on the Spring Hill label. Michael's endeavors in the music business have brought him 15 gold and 4 platinum records. Previously, he was a senior executive at PolyGram, where he was responsible for signing such diverse talents as ranging from Vangelis to ABBA. He is English by birth and lives with his lovely wife Monica in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you, Cynthia, very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Yes, what a delight. I know you're traveling and recording and to take the time to be with us.
Pleasure.
I'd love to talk about the first time I heard The Yearning and how it affected us. I was sitting with my husband on our honeymoon in Santorini, Greece, and we were having this very romantic dinner at the Katakis Hotel, which has like 4 tables.
Yeah, nice.
And it was in a white caldera cave, and they were playing your music. And it was just so beautiful. We were asking, well, who's the artist? And then when they tried to change the music, we would say, no, no, play that CD again.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And then what the hotel did is, on our wedding day, because we were married in a Greek village wedding there, they said, well, what can we do for you? And we said, well, can you have that, can we get that music? So after we returned from going through the village and riding on donkeys and this Greek Orthodox ceremony, it was playing in the room when we returned.
Right.
And this year, for our one-year anniversary, I recreated the breakfast they used to serve us overlooking the Mediterranean Sea for my husband. I gave him breakfast in bed, and then I put the CD on, and it took us back within moments. And he was speechless, and it just showed me how, well, food, but music can...
Yeah.
be such a big part of the memory and then
Absolutely.
Take you back. So can you tell us how The Yearning came about?
Yes, it's played absolutely beautifully by a phenomenal flautist called Tim Wheater,
who's
an English fellow as well. And he was a client of mine after I left Polygram. I became a consultant whilst really trying to make up my mind whether I should or could be a composer. And Tim Wheater, who plays, as you can hear on The Yearning, such wonderful flute, said, now come on, Michael, back up, and let's try and do one of your tunes. And I said, no, man, it's not, it's too sad, the music that I seem to write, it's too slow, and as I was head of signing artists at Polygram, I thought I knew what people wanted, and they certainly didn't want the sort of music I thought, but I do. Well, he made me sit down, and very reluctantly, I recorded with him two tracks, and at the end of the first one, I practically broke down and wept. I couldn't believe how achingly beautiful he played and how beautiful actually my music sounded when it was in the hands of such a master. And that went on to become The Yearning, and it's done extremely well. Julia Cameron, the Artist's Way author, has used it in her workshops constantly. It's found its way into many people's hearts, and I consider it one of a turning point in my life, actually, not just in my career. Because although I had done two albums previously, this album really cemented it for me that I could be a composer, and that what I have to offer has some value, especially when it is in the hands of such a master. So that's why The Yearning came about and how it came about. And I'm so delighted that you heard it in Greece. Beautiful.
Yeah, so it's just so beautiful. And I felt the emotions you were putting through that. So
Yeah. Thank
you for putting that together. And I also know that there's wonderful photographs that are part of the CD and
that
has a connection to your father. Tell us
about. Yes, to my grandfather.
My grandfather,
E.O. Hoppe, was an extremely successful photographer in the teens and the 20s of the last century. And almost anybody who was anybody sat for him. And, all society, artists, politicians, everybody. And I decided with The Yearning to make it an album and dedicate it to women. And so in the booklet of that album, there are, I think, about 12 photographs, portraits of famous women that my grandfather photographed, and they have been included in each tune. Each track has been dedicated to them. So we have got Mary Pickford and Marlene Dietrich and others. And the first track, Lilies on the Lake, that was in fact done for the Queen Mother in England, because grandfather photographed her when she was 14, and she remembered him. So when eventually she had her 100th birthday in the year 2000, I went over to see her at her office and put together an album of some of her favorite music, and the hook, really, of the album were photographs that my grandfather had made of her and of her future husband, the King Duke of York, and his parents, Queen Mary, King George V, and they were all in this booklet and all done by my grandfather. So The Yearning was the start not only of my own sort of career, really, as a composer, but also the start of using grandfather's images with my music. And there's somehow an extraordinarily beautiful feeling between them both. None of the women in this particular, in fact, none of the portraits he ever took, nobody seems to smile. There's rather sort of serious, long ago, distant look in many of their faces, which was, I suppose, the style of the portraiture of that time. And, gosh, my music seems to embrace that. And so it's a wonderful combination of his art and mine to make what we do, and the yearning started all that.
How beautiful. He's probably smiling down from heaven saying, well
done. Yeah, it was, I mean, it was absolutely, it was amazing when something like this is meant to happen. We were living in Los Angeles, and a next-door neighbor who didn't know me at all called me and said, I think your name is Hoppe. I said, yes, it is. Well, there's a photograph I would like of Isadora Duncan, the dancer. And I said, yes. Well, can you get it for me? Well, I said, no, of course I can't. He said, it's by somebody called E.O. Hoppe. I said, yes, that's my grandfather. And this was in a catalog that was being auctioned. There were pictures, in fact, belonging to Graham Nash, the pop artist. And so, as a result of this, I said, look, before you go, who put this together? Who put this book together? He told me, I called the guy up. He lived in Pasadena, not very far from where we lived. He came rushing round to see me. I can't believe I'm seeing the grandson of E.O. Hoppe. You know, he was so famous, but you can't find his photographs anywhere. Well, I said, I know. They're all locked up in a vault in London. But you won't be able to get in there because the people won't allow you to see it. Well, do you mind if I can go over? And I said, well, here's the address. Here's the phone number. Good luck. And they did not allow him to see him, to see these pictures for several years until one of the owners died. And eventually he went in, into this vault, and with other photographers' work, there was over 1 million photographs in this vault. And as a result of him being there, they asked him, well, I think you know about photography because you come here often enough. We want to sell all this. So all those photographs were eventually bought by Time Life. And my friend now, the guy in Pasadena, his fee was to have my grandfather's photographs. So all this started off with a crazy call from a neighbor in Los Angeles, resulting me to find through this person in Pasadena all these photographs in London. And if that's not an example of where my grandfather wanted me to bring his work back into the line again, I don't know what it is. And as a result of those photographs that I could have access to, The Yearning was the first album that I put together with his work. That's how it happened.
That is an amazing story. Absolutely. I mean, wow. Yeah. Talking about creativity and just miraculous. Oh, yes, thank you for sharing that. That just shows you, you know, when you go forth and do work that you're supposed to be doing, I mean, you know, the universe, go ahead and provides the assistance and the help in ways that you could never imagine.
It really does. And this has happened quite a few times. And with Solace, the one that was nominated for a Grammy.
Yes, tell us about that, because you worked with Vangelis.
Yes, well, wow. Cynthia, it started because of a fan. Florida called me up and said, you don't know who I am, but I want to help you. I said, no, I don't need any help, man. Thank you, it's all right. He said, don't you want to do something which you've never done before? I said, why are you asking me? He said, well, your music has meant so much to me, including The Yearning. I just can't wait to put something back into your life for giving me so much happiness in mine. I said, that's very nice. What is your name? And he gave me the name, and what he meant, that he wanted to fund a project that I wanted to do. I said, well, this is amazing, man, but I've always wanted to do an orchestral project, at least some tracks with a full orchestra as opposed to banks or synthesizers. He said, well, go ahead. I'll pay for it. I said, you will? He said, yep. Well, he said, just tell me how much it'll be. I then put the phone down in absolute disbelief that I had such a phone call from somebody who I didn't know. And that afternoon, I got a postcard in the mail saying there was a new studio in Los Angeles, where we were living, where you could record the Prague Symphony over the internet without actually ever going there. And I,
wow.
I said, good Lord. So I went to see the studio. There, in this room, was a large TV screen, and you could talk directly to the conductor, and he could see you on his monitor. It was like sort of video conferencing. And I could see the entire orchestra. And so I thought, well, this is the way to do it. So I told my friend how much it was going to cost. It was very much cheaper than, of course, employing, let's say, the LA Philharmonic. And the music was sent over as files over the internet, then copied their end. So when I came to the recording session, there, sitting in front of me, were 75 people ready to play. And I could even activate a video camera from Los Angeles to look at, let's say, the lead violinist's position live. So those tracks on Solace, there are four of them, were recorded that way, and they were paid for it that way by a fan who's become a very good friend of mine, and the album then went on to get a Grammy nomination. And I've always felt very largely in part because of those extraordinary recordings from the Prague Symphony. And then to sort of put the further cherries on the ice cream cake, Van Gennis, who I hadn't spoken to for a long time, but he and I were very good friends indeed. I had sent him a cut that he'd done many years ago in 86, and he said, Michael, I think this is absolutely beautiful. I had totally forgotten about it. If you want to use it, you may. I said, well, really? I didn't, frankly, I had not sent it off to him for me to use at all. It was just for him, memory lane, really. Just to show, you know, do you remember when you did this? And so, as a result of Van Gelis's lovely and beautiful generosity, Solace then included that track at the end of the record. And it was done, as I say, back many years ago, all in one take. And there's another story to the whole thing, but I can tell you that another time. But that's how that track appeared on Solace, because Van Gelis was so moved by it for something he'd done so many years ago, which he couldn't remember doing.
Amazing. Yeah. Artistic synchronicity.
Yeah. It happens a lot to me.
You're doing what you love, and you're making a difference in the world, and we love your music, and it's just all coming together. That is such an inspiring story for any artist to hear, or anyone who, you know, is considering pursuing their dreams to just move
good,
forward.
Yes.
So beautiful.
You know, since you're really in this game of being in the creative business, I think Woody Allen really said it pretty well. Something like 90% of it is turning up. And I think that's what it is. You've got to keep going. So the first CD or the first book or the first painting or whatever it might be may not work, usually doesn't. But you just keep on going, and you hone your craft, and you get better at it. You'll work always trying to reduce the ignorance of people's knowledge about you. And that's really what you keep on doing. You keep on chipping away. People say, I've never heard of you, or you, or your music, or your books, or whatever it might be. And you've got to keep on turning up. You've got to keep on going ahead, if this is the career that you wish to do. And that's why, really, I think one can't do what one does, what I'm doing anyway, unless you're sort of driven. For me, there's no choice. I don't sort of think, oh, I wish I could. There are lots of reasons why I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I'm self-taught, for a start. I don't read music very well. I don't sight read. I mean, that's very bad. And there are all sorts of technical non-accomplishments that I could say, well, there you go, Michael, you shouldn't be doing this. You should sort of stay with Polygram or whatever it was. But you really can overcome these things if you really believe. And if you have a certain belief that is validated by other people, and that comes about slowly but surely, if you keep on turning up, then it makes it all really worthwhile. And I love what I do, and there's nothing I couldn't do anything else. And I'm always on the quest of beauty in one form or another. My music is very much from the heart. It's totally emotional. It's got nothing to do with the mind or the head. If I find people like Tim Wheater, and I do, who are marvelous on their instruments, or they can sing to a way where you're moved practically to the next heaven, then with the type of music that I write, then it's a fantastic ladder straight into the heart, and it really is, and I know it. And so this is what I spend my time doing, and what I love doing.
And that, would you say that's what your hope is for listeners that are listening to your music? What do you hope that they...
Well, I'm not sure that I hope. I would love if they would enjoy it, and I leave it to them. I'm a very, very severe critic of what I do. And so when I sort of write music and record it, Cynthia, I have to be given the buzz. I have to really think, wow. And usually it sort of manifests itself in me sort of practically tearing up. I mean, for example, if you listen to Solace, and you listen to the second track, So You, played by my very dear friend and fantastic cellist called Martin Tillman, and this is an amazing performance. It is absolutely amazing. And so with these, I think, well-articulated compositions, very driven melodically, if they are performed with phenomenal finesse like Martin and Tim and others do and have done, then it does reach the heart. And I don't actually have to hope that it does so. It will do. I know that. I'm always very grateful to anybody who's come across my music, especially you, all the way over in Greece as well.
Yes, and that totally was a heart connection. So I thank you about that. Mm. And I want to ask you, because our show, it's called Romancing the Table, and we often ask people if they had a memory around the table. And I was wondering if you might share something, or if you may also tell us about your wonderful wife, who we spoke before. You said she's been quite an inspiration to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's Cynthia, thank you. She is, and I think one of the definite necessities when you are in the creative area, that you have a partner who is supportive of what you do in one form. I think it's extremely important. I couldn't really have done this entirely on my own. I really don't think so, but I know so. Monica is an extraordinary interior decorator, a phenomenal gardener. Now that we have moved to Portland or in Oregon, it's marvelous to see what she has done. And she is an absolute artist. So although I'm sort of the obvious artist, she's every bit, if not more so, than I am. And if you saw our place, Cynthia, you would see how beautiful she's made it. Absolutely.
Oh, it sounds gorgeous. And congratulations on, you said you're going to be married for almost 30 years. So.
Yes, there you go. Yeah.
There's the true meaning of it. So, Well, we're coming to an end, but I just wanted to ask you, where can people get your music? I know you have
Thanks, Cynthia. Well, they can sort of go to Amazon. It's really the easiest way. The prices are always good. I think they're a very efficient company. If they're stuck, they can always come to me. I have some product here. And my email address is hoppe@thegrid.net. But basically, it's easy to go to Amazon, and you can find it in that retail at Barnes & Noble and all these places, too. But I think the Internet's the easiest way of doing things.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Michael, for, you know, talking to us about your very romantic and profound and touching music. It's been a true delight and inspiration.
Yeah, well, thanks, Heather. Thank you.
Wonderful. So we've been talking with Grammy-nominated musician and composer Michael Hoppe about his beautiful romantic music. If you want to find out more about his music, you can check out his website at michaelhoppe.com. Right now you're listening to a track called Beloved from his new CD, Romances for Solo Piano. If you enjoy this show, please tell your friends and go to moderndaygoddess.com where they can hear a replay of all of the shows and especially this one. On the site, you can also check out the Romancing the Table blog and see clips from my new video release called The Greek Island Destination Cooking Class, which captures a very romantic dining experience I had in Santorini, Greece. So until next week, remember, times and memories around the table shared with love bring joy and connection to the heart. I'm Cynthia Dedona, your host for Romancing the Table, a celebration of life, love, and food. From my table to yours, I want to thank you for listening.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Romancing the Table with Modern Day Goddess Cynthia Dedona, a celebration of love, life, and food. Go to moderndaygoddess.com to read Cynthia's popular romantic food and travel blog with recipes or order her top-selling book, Diary of a Modern Day Goddess. And we'll see you right back here next week.